Gracious Father and eternal God, we bow humbly in thy presence. And, O Lord, we need thy help at this moment in time. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and touch our lips with a live coal from off the altar, that, Lord, we might be enabled to speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we pray today also that thou wilt touch our hearts. And, O Lord, even right now, be pleased to prepare our hearts to receive the Word. And, Lord, as we listen to the Word and give attention to it, may the Word itself, Lord, touch our hearts. So, loving Father, come and shut us in with thee. And may we know the power, enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God, who might today preach Christ in all His fullness. In the Lord's wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. The verse that we would like to consider this morning John chapter 13 and verse 23. John 13, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ will inevitably draw the child of God nearer to his Savior. And the Gospels tell us of those who, through their love and devotion to their Savior, were drawn nearer to him. Devotion to Christ, you remember, brought that woman of the city into the house of Simon the Pharisee, where she fell at the feet of Christ. And there she anointed him, and there in devotion she kissed his feet. And there she washed his feet with her tears. Such was the devotion of one woman towards her Lord and Savior. Devotion also led Mary to the feet of the Master that day when he visited the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Martha, you recall, was cumbered about with much serving. But Mary chose that better part. And we are told in Luke 10, verse 39, that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Truly, an act of devotion. Every bit as much an act of devotion as the woman who kissed the Master's feet. For you see, true devotion to Jesus Christ will lead the Christian to want to know more of the Lord's Word. And this desire will lead us to seek Jesus Christ. For when we want to know more of the Word, we will inevitably be drawn nearer to Christ, because it is the study of the Word and the hearing of the Word that leads us nearer to the Savior. It was also devotion to their risen Lord that prompted the women returning from the sepulchre on the day of resurrection, that prompted them to hold him by the feet and worship Him. Believer, if we are truly to worship the Lord, if we are truly devoted to Jesus Christ, then in our worship of Him, it will be our desire by faith to embrace Him. The woman who came into the house of Simon embraced her Savior. Mary, the sister of Martha, embraced her Savior. The women on the resurrection morning fell at His feet in worship of Him and embraced Him. So as we worship the Lord today and on every occasion, let us not stand at a distance from Christ, but rather let us in our worship of Him by faith embrace Him. Let us say with the Shulamite and the Song of Solomon, I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go. May that be our testimony today. Yea, may that be our experience today. May in our worship today, may we embrace Jesus Christ and be so filled with Christ and taken up with Christ that we will say, I will not let Him go. Which is exactly what this disciple did that we read about here in verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. For of all that we read about in the Gospels who drew near to the Lord Jesus in devotion, who laid hold upon Jesus Christ, of all that we read about in the Gospels, we have here a record of one who came nearer to Christ than perhaps all the rest. That is not to minimize the love and the devotion of the others, but this is the only person that we read about in the Gospels who actually came near enough to Christ to lay His head in the very bosom of the Savior. You never read this of anyone else but the one referred to here in this verse of Scripture. We're told in God's Word that if we draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to us. Let us draw near to the Lord today. Let us draw so near that we will be able to lay our very head in the bosom of Christ. For some sat at His feet, others wept at His feet. Still others held His feet. But here is one who placed his head in the bosom of Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Spirit of God through His Word today would lead us to that very place. Oh, that today we also would lie in the bosom of God and hear the heartbeat of deity. First of all, let us consider today, and let us identify the person. For you will notice that no name is given here of this one who leaned in the bosom of Christ. Neither was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. That narrows it down. One of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Although his actual and proper name is not given, and nevertheless, his name is in the verse. His name is in the verse, clear and plain for all to see. Let us then consider his name. As we have said, the personal name of this man, this devotee, this disciple is not recorded, yet it is in the verse. Look at how he identifies himself. He identifies himself by referring to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. You see, he has just told us the meaning of his name. Because this particular disciple, that's what his name means. His name means loved by Jehovah. I wonder, then, which disciple has a name with that meaning? Was it Andrew? No, it couldn't have been Andrew because his name means manly. Perhaps it was Bartholomew. But when we look at the meaning of Bartholomew, we discover that his name means the son of Tolmai. So it wasn't Bartholomew and it wasn't Andrew. Perhaps it was Philip. No, it wasn't Philip. Because his name means a lover of horses. And we know for sure it wasn't Peter. Because his name means a stone. So which of the disciples was it? Which of the disciples has a name that means loved of Jehovah? Was, of course, John. John means loved of Jehovah or the love of Jehovah. And isn't that what John was experiencing? Isn't that what John experienced? He experienced the love of Jehovah, the love of God, and that's what he said, whom Jesus loved. And of course, if he was loved by Jesus, then he was loved by Jehovah because Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Here he says, that disciple whom Jesus or Jehovah loved. There's another interesting fact about the name John. There are those who tell us his name means loved of Jehovah. There are others who give a different interpretation of his name, but that doesn't matter, it all ties in. There are those who say that John means the grace of Jehovah or the grace of God. Now we know that in the study of John's Gospel, the writer, John, never called himself by his own name. He never said, I, John. He always, when referring to himself, would say, that disciple whom Jesus loved. That was the title he gave himself. That disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, read John's Gospel. And you will discover that on 5 different occasions, John calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And you know, and we have mentioned it often enough, 5 is the number of grace. And if John's name means the grace of God, then was John not emphasizing this by the fact that in his own letter, in his own gospel, he referred to himself 5 times as the grace of God? How do we enjoy the love of Jehovah? We enjoy and experience the love of God and the love of Jehovah through the grace of Jehovah. Because what did we deserve? We deserved the wrath of God. What have we experienced instead? We have experienced instead the grace of God. Experienced and said the love of God that passeth all understanding. So with regard to this disciple, not only do we have his name, but the verse tells us something about his nature. There are, of course, many things that we could say about the nature and character of John. But we want to confine ourselves to what we see of him in the words of our text. And what we see here, first of all, is his likeness to Christ. When John put his head into the bosom of his Savior, he did something that the Lord Jesus had already done. Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John has recorded this very fact. So John was well aware of this. Turn, please, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we read in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. It's as if John said, well, if the Lord Jesus has placed himself in the bosom of the Father, what is to hinder me placing myself in the bosom of the Savior? He followed the Lord's example. And so by his action, John is identified by his likeness to Jesus Christ. And dearly beloved, today, here is an example for us to follow. Let us follow the example of Christ who came and was so close and near to his Father that he leaned in the bosom of the Father. John simply followed the Savior's example and placed his own head in the bosom of Christ. We notice something else about the character, the nature of John. Not only his likeness to Christ, but his lowliness before Christ. We have already noticed that John does not mention his own name anywhere in his gospel. He just simply identifies himself by these words, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That then draws our attention to his humility or his lowliness before the Lord. For instead of promoting his own name, he promotes the name of Christ. He says, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't even say, I am the disciple who loves Jesus. For that would be drawing attention to himself. But instead he says, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus loves me. What is he doing? He is promoting Christ. He's lifting up the Savior. He's making much of Christ. That's what John, another John, did. That's what John the Baptist did. For John the Baptist said in John 3, verse 30, but he must increase. And I must decrease. See how emphatic John was? He must increase. And I must decrease. Notice how John promoted the name and person of the Lord Jesus. He promoted the name and the person of Christ through the love of Christ, through Christ's love for him. What a wonderful theme this is. The love of God for guilty, hell-deserving sinners. For dear child of God, this morning when we speak about the love of Christ for sinners, there's no limit. There's no limit to what we can say. Jean Paul and the words, the love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. His love is more than tongue can tell. The love that Jesus had for me is more. Good theme. It's a good way to promote Christ, isn't it? The love that Christ has for sinners. But then we notice with regard to his nature, not only his likeness to Christ and his lowliness before Christ, but also his love for Christ. The fact that John lay on the breast of the Savior would be an indication of John's love for his Savior. Since John knows that the Savior loves him, then what else could John do but love the Savior? Tell me, dear Christian, today, do you love the Savior? You ought to love the Savior and love Him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Why? Because He loves you. In John's first epistle, chapter 4, verse 19, John said, we love Him because He first. He first loved us. We didn't fall in love with Jesus Christ before He loved us. Christ didn't love us because we loved Him. No, Jesus Christ loved us first. He loved us before He called the stars into being. He loved us before He created sun and moon. He loved us first. No wonder John said, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. Because John is here really testifying to the fact not only did that the Lord loved him first, but that he was favored with his love. Why did Christ love John? Why did Christ love me? Why did Christ love you? That's a mystery. Because as they looked upon us, there was nothing lovely in us. There was nothing in us to attract Him to us. There was nothing attractive about us at all. Nevertheless, He loved us first. He loved us first. He loved us. He favored us with His love. And Hosea 14 verse 4 tells us He loved us freely. He loved us freely. No conditions, no recommendations, no inducements. He loved us freely. Dear child of God, would such love for us then not prompt us to love Him? Would such love for us not prompt us to seek that place that John occupied, even the very bosom of Christ? Draw me nearer, nearer. We notice not only His name and His nature, but His nearness. There were 12 disciples in that room. 12 places set around that table. John chose the one nearest the Savior. So near indeed that he was able to lean upon his breast. You see, in Bible times and in the East, when they sat at table, they didn't sit upright as you and I may do, but they reclined. They would lean on their left arm or their left elbow and take from the table with their right hand. So that meant that John was leaning towards the Savior. He was reclining in the direction of the Savior. And as he reclined, his head lay upon the breast of the Master. This teaches us that it behoves every one of us to find that place nearest to Christ. How near to Christ are we living today? Are we leaning on His bosom? How near are we today to the Lord Jesus? Can we hear His whispers? Can we hear His breathings? Can we hear His heartbeat? Are we that near to the Savior? Notice, John lay near to Christ on a night in which the devil was busy. It's a good time to be near the Lord. The devil's always busy. For look at verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil was busy. Look at verse 27. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. The devil was busy. And the devil was influencing one of the Lord's disciples. Influencing him, entering into him. The devil was out to destroy one of the disciples of the Lord. Of course, Judas was never a child of God, but nevertheless he was called one of the Lord's disciples. And the devil was out to destroy the life of one of the disciples. And I tell you, when the devil's busy, that's a good time to live near the Lord. It was that night, because we never read, I said any other time but that night, the night in which the devil was busy. He was out to destroy. Dear child of God, because the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, we need to get to the bosom of Christ. And we notice, secondly, the intimate posture of this disciple. As we have read these words, has the thought not occurred to you that John was very bold to have leaned his head on the breast of his master? Does it not strike you as a bold move? Have we not thought that John took a great liberty with Christ? To lean his head on the bosom of the Son of God. But have we not noticed also that the Lord didn't refuse him that place? The Lord didn't say, "No, John, I cannot permit you to lay your head here." No, no such words came from the Master. Therefore, we gather from this that it was a welcomed posture. The Lord welcomed John. It was indeed a very intimate posture, but it appears that the Lord Jesus welcomed it. For has the Lord not said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out"? Oh yes, we've used those words with reference to the gospel and preaching the gospel to the unsaved, but those words go in many directions. And the Lord would say unto us today, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you want to lay your head on my breast, I will not cast you out. I will not say nay. Rather, I welcome you. And if you this day, dear child of God, want to live closer to the Lord, and you want to lean your head on His breast as John did, then the Lord today would say, come and welcome." Can you not hear the words of Horatius Bonner? "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, thy head, upon my breast." There's a place for you there. I thank God there's a place for me there, in the very bosom of God. You might say, "Well, that's all right for John. He was one of the Lord's disciples. That's all right for John. He was a servant of God, but I'm only a young Christian or a weak Christian. Is there a place in the bosom of Christ for me?" Yes, there is. For I read in Psalm 40, and verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs, the weak ones, the young ones. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them" where? "In his bosom. And shall greatly lead those that are with young." He will gather you today. He will gather you into His bosom. Not only is it a welcomed posture, it's a wanted posture. It is very evident from all that we have learned thus far that John wanted to be there. It was certainly not the place that Judas desired to be. It appears it was not the place that Peter at that time wanted to be, or any of the other disciples. Rather, it was the place where John wanted to be. Where John wanted to be, reclining in the breast of the Savior. For that is what John was doing. The word leaning. Our text says there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. The word leaning means reclining. It is the same word that is translated in verse 28 at the table. It's translated at the table in verse 27 and translated leaning in verse 23. And it means reclining. And so we see that there were those disciples, 12 in all, and they were reclining at the table. But only one chose the place. It was next to Christ, so that he could recline and lean his head on the bosom of the Lord. He wanted to be there. You know, I believe it's a sad truth that there are some professing believers and they would not want that place. They have no desire to be in that place with their head in the bosom of Christ. It's too narrow for them. It's too near Christ for them. It's too far away from the world. Oh, that the Lord would give us the heart of John, that we would want that place. You'll notice also it was a wonderful posture. Notice how John records this incident. He says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. As one of his workers, as one of his disciples, John felt that that was the place that he should be. And what a wonderful place for any servant of God to be in the very bosom of the Lord. He needed to be intimate with Christ. He needed to be on familiar terms with the Lord. But I want you to notice something else. If John was on familiar terms with the Savior and able and given the liberty to lean upon the bosom of Christ, familiarity did not breed contempt as far as John was concerned. Because John was asked to ask the Lord a question. And you notice when John asked this question, he didn't say, Jesus, who is it? In fact, if you read the Gospels, you will discover that none of the disciples at any time ever addressed the Lord in that way. They never said, Jesus. They always said, Lord, our Master, our Teacher. And here is one who's familiar with the Savior. He's lying in the very bosom of Christ. And how does he address him? Verse 25. Then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord. Who is it? That is never yet so familiar with the Lord, we do not honor him, and we fail to honor him by addressing him by his proper name. For he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. He's the Lord Jesus. I have heard people in other places. And when they pray, it's all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've never heard the name Lord come from their lips. Certainly His name is Jesus. But His name is Lord. He's the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how John addressed the Master. Finally, and very quickly, we have the incalculable privilege there in this text. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. An incalculable privilege. Privilege of being loved. Privilege of leaning on the Master's breast. Things that cannot be bought with silver and gold. So what did it all mean? John leaning on the Master's breast. Let us see first of all what he recognized. What he recognized. John called himself that disciple whom Jesus loved. Does that not beg the question? Well, did the Lord love John more than the other disciples? Does that mean that the Lord didn't love the other disciples? Or did He love all the disciples equally? Well, we read in John 11, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And we read in the beginning of chapter 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And it's all the same word for love. So evidently, the Lord did love others apart from John. So why did John say, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved? The answer is simple. John was the one who recognized the love of Christ. And he recognized the love of Christ for him as he lay in the bosom of the Savior. See, whenever you're away from God, following Him afar off, you don't recognize the love of the Lord. But when you're leaning on His breast, resting in His bosom, you're able to say, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. What He recognized and what He reported. There was one thing that happened in that room that night that everyone else missed except John. Something took place that could not have been known by any of the other disciples except the one who was leaning on the Master's breast. And that matter is seen in verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. They all heard that. They all heard the Savior say, Verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. But only John knew what went before. And what was it that went before? He was troubled in spirit. How did John know? Remember, John's the one who's recording it and reporting it. And only John was able to say, Christ was troubled in spirit. How did he know? Because his head was leaning in the bosom of Christ. Perhaps he heard him sigh. He most certainly heard the deep breathings of Christ. You see, John had a deeper, more intimate knowledge of the Savior than any of the other disciples. And when you have your head in the bosom of Christ, you have a deeper knowledge of the Savior than anyone else. And the things that others miss, passes them by. The one who leans in the Master's bosom is the one who knows it all. What he recognized, what he reported, and what he requested. Peter, verse 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Who's going to betray thee? Peter says to John, you ask him. Note the inclusion of the word therefore. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore. Because John was leaning in the bosom of Christ, Peter felt John was better qualified to ask the question. This was a very intimate question. Peter felt he couldn't ask it. He felt John alone could ask it. He was the nearest to Christ. Oh, believer, when we live near to Christ, we can ask things of the Lord that no one else can ask for. George Mueller asked great things of the Lord that no one else would dare ask for. Why? Because Mueller lived close to the Lord. Elijah asked for things of God that no one else dare ask for. Why? Because Elijah lived near to the Lord. As did Elisha, as did David, as did many others. Oh, may it be said of us. And there was one of his disciples leaning on his breast whom Jesus loved. May the Lord lead us there to rest and recline in the very bosom of God. Let us pray. Eternal, loving Father and gracious God, we pray that Thou indeed would lead every child of God to that place. That, O Lord, we will be drawn nearer, still nearer, close to Thy heart. Draw me, my Savior. How precious Thou art. O Lord, today may we learn to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I have ever seen, because I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Do Thy work in our hearts, dear Lord, today. Save the lost. Bring sinners to Christ. And, O Lord, build up Thy saints. Now, Lord, may we take the word home with us. Meditate upon it. And use it, Lord, to draw us nearer to Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.